Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and yourself feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Self-Care. We have Dr. Frank Lawless. We have Jen Stennett. We have more coming on later. And today we're going to be talking about brain health and how fear impacts your brain health and what you can do about it. So I'm so excited to have you guys here. So thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for having us.
I need you to turn up your volume just a smidgen so I can hear you better.
So my volume is completely up. So perhaps can you look at your volume button?
Oh, okay.
You're awesome. How are we doing now?
Can't find it.
Oh, so are you on your Mac?
Yeah, I'm looking at my computer.
Great. So on the far right-hand corner, there's an F11, F12 on the very top row, and it also above it has a volume button like a microphone. So if you hit the one that has the large microphone, which is F12, the keyboard, it will increase your volume.
I'll keep looking.
Okay. So I'm going to see if I can, because I think I have it up here, get the screenshot of what we use to advertise the show. And it looks like I do have it. So we're going to talk about how fear impacts brain health, right? And symptomatically, what does that look like? So let me just pull this up. Doesn't look like I can do that. So, but let me just talk to it then instead. So we have a few things. So one is dilation of the pupils, dry mouth, fast breathing, a pounding heart, tense muscles, slow digestion, sweating of the palms, just to name a few, and how that impacts us, which that is a description of the fight or flight response. It's the amygdala in our brain, which I'm going to let you experts speak about, reacts to the threat, kind of like when a saber-toothed tiger is chasing after you, right? Which we really don't have nowadays unless you're, you know, in the Amazon or somewhere else, Africa or like that. And the hypothalamus activates the sympathetic nervous system, so it releases adrenaline, which we needed when we were hunters. And then the adrenal cortex releases cortisol for continued alertness. That's really huge. And while we're talking about that, I'll see if I can get that image up, because we're in a constant state of alertness. We're in a constant state of people thinking that we've got the saber-toothed tiger running after us, and we're like running, and our body's not in rest and digest. So who wants to go first?
Well, Jen, I was more interested in your concept before I lapsed into some other things.
Sure. Well, when I hear you talk about the fight or flight system, I also think about different brain waves that we would be in as well. Because when we're in fight or flight, we're in a very high beta. So when we're in a high beta, like, our brain really shuts down a lot of blood flow to other areas except for the fight or flight system. And the key is to try to figure out how do we get out of that. But when we're in that system, it's hard to think clearly. It's hard to make rational decisions. It's hard to do anything in order. It's hard to have focus. It's just a very hard place. Like, if you're in fight or flight sitting in a classroom, you're not going to really retain much. If you're in fight or flight sitting in a meeting, you're not really going to retain much. And some people in fight or flight will also have like a complete memory lapse because they're not focused. They're not able to focus on what's being talked about. So I've had people in fight or flight in meetings and come out and be like, what just happened? I'm like, what do you mean, what just happened? We just had this great meeting. And they're like, I was so scared. Like, I don't remember anything.
Mm.
So there's a lot of, your brain doesn't retain when you're in fight or flight.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Jen, in terms of the neurological dynamics. Let me just talk a little bit about some more of the psychological dynamics, and that is that your brain actually regresses so that you're not going forward. You're backing up. It's kind of like trying to drive your car by using just the rear view mirror because not only are you dealing with some issues with regard to the present situation, you're also bring up old stuff that you're afraid of. And so you're capitalizing and you're multiplying the impact and in terms of regression. So consequently, it's hard for you to problem solve. That usually happens in the front of the brain. And so you're in sympathetic system up there. And in the back of the brain, you're regressing. So you can't create a real imbalance in your balance as well.
Would you say that they also creates traumatic, call them memories, because you keep going backwards, going backwards, going backwards? Yep.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so you have this, you can diagnose it in a variety of ways, but basically is what you said, you have limited options. You can either go forward in terms of anger, which basically makes things usually a lot worse because you're limited in terms of your options. You can regress, which is more than likely happening, or you can freeze. You can become paralysis. And that's usually what we talk about in terms of where you basically, it's just like the rat that can't push down the lever because he just stuck there and immobilized. So it can immobilize you, it can regress you, and there's nothing good that I can think of that can happen when you're in such fear. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all pathological. It's basically a state of mind that's been with us since we evolved, and so we are still get deathly afraid of different things. So it's a constant growing process and the evolution of how you deal with things you fear. And I think that means that we're learning objects, we're learning animals. So we kind of learn those things on how to deal with fear from a very early stage, but that has to mature over time as well.
I agree with that too.
So when, what occurred to me when you were saying, and I was multitasking because I'm sharing the show, about we are not only regressing, I mean, we're in the present moment being in fear, and then we're also bringing up our past memories, which really excites and maybe makes that fear more pronounced. What do you think that, I mean, that, first of all, that's just awful. What do you guys think that people can do, to support themselves? I think, here's a few things I'd like to talk about. One, being aware that you're in that state. How do you create awareness for yourself that you're in that state? Let's just start with that.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. Yeah, can you clarify that a little bit for me?
Sure. So if I'm in a state of fight or flight, and I really don't know what that looks like, what are some things that I can do to maybe create awareness for myself that I'm in that state? Because once I'm aware, then I can start taking action to make a change.
Okay, now I understand what you mean. All right, now, one of the most voluntary things you can do let me just state a little bit of clear on that. You can do some biofeedback, but that's usually what I consider to be secondary. The first thing that you can do to change your brain and change your body is to learn how to breathe. And we've done, there's been extensive research forever in terms of especially focusing on the exhalation, where you basically learn how to breathe out. And consequently, that gives a reflex of breathing in oxygen, and so you're basically helping with your brain, and you're also slowing your brain down from the parasympathetic region All those things, all those features can be controlled by the first order of breathing. And so I'm going to start with that.
Well, why don't we...
I'm going to go back a step.
Oh, go ahead.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I think if you know that you're prone to panic, so I almost like to get people to create like an anxiety timeline.
Oh, okay.
So when, like, I've been in a lot of car accidents where other people were driving. So when I get into a car, if I notice right away, if I'm nervous, I'll tuck my thumb into my fist.
Okay.
So that's like the first thing I do when I'm nervous. It's not a cognitive nervous. It's a physical nervous. So my thumb will clench. But as soon as I realize that that's what I'm doing, I can kind of take a deep breath. Back to your breath work, Dr. Lawless. And I can also then relax. So, and that's like a number one on a timeline for me. So like I look at like a panic would be like a level 10. And so if I were in the car, this is my anxiety timeline. If I get into a car with somebody else driving and I tuck my thumb, that's a number one. If we're driving and my thumb stays tucked and there's a couple sudden stops or somebody swerves, you know, I'll grab onto the poop bar, and then I have my brake, you know, my passenger side brake. So that puts me at like a 4, getting close to a 5. So for me to come down from that, it takes a little bit more self-talk and a little bit more conscientious driving from the driver, you know, so I'll have to kind of be like, okay, you're fine. We're good, whatever. And then I can get myself back down. Now, if I go from 1 to 4 and then I'm like starting to breathe heavy, it's a lot harder for me to self-talk that down. I can't self-talk that one down. That's going to be kind of like a waiting game for me. Or I might tap the tops of my thighs just to realize that I'm safe. I might just say, hey, you know, can you slow down? Or, you know, some verbal, you know, conversation with driver. If they're driving, their driving's making me uncomfortable. But once I get to a 10, there's nothing in that moment that I can do that's going to calm me down until I'm out of that car. So one, and maybe the BOD would help, but you know, I don't know that I want to use BOD while I'm in the car with that person anyway. But
oh, we
there's
use it
like
in the
this
car
timeline.
All the time. So this is what we do. So, and welcome Dr. Debbie Green.
Morning.
Meet Jen.
Good morning.
You know Dr.
Good morning.
Frank. So we have
Hi, nice to
Dr.
meet you.
Nice meeting you as well. I came in on a very interesting conversation, how to calm down.
Well, so, and Jen was saying, well, I don't know if I want to use the BOD in the car. And I'm going to tell you, we use it in the car all the time, not on our ears. So we wear it at our neck, okay?
Yeah, throat chakra. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Or we put
well, that's
it
a great
above
idea.
Our temples like this. We actually have the bone conductor that we use as well. And we put it at the temple so we're getting the vibration we can hear, especially someone like Andrew Calhoun, who will be on here in a little bit. He had a traumatic brain injury as a result of a car accident. And we have gotten through so many levels that as our consciousness rises, we also find that we have new levels to work on in the car to reverse that trauma that he had as a 16-year-old. So at the temples is great, at the throat chakra, heck, we've even put it at our thighs because that vibration is so powerful. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So
but when we start talking about like panic, I feel like we have to back up and look at all the steps that we've gotten to get to that place.
I agree.
Because I feel like with all of us, we have different signs. And some of them are physical. Some of them are mental. Some of them are emotional.
Some
it's
are
trying to
three.
Figure out what your signs are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times people will pick at their fingers at a low level. They'll start mm-hmm. to twiddle their hair. they'll start tapping their feet. There's lots of body signs. Your body gives off a lot of information when you're moving up that anxiety timeline towards panic.
Right. And let's assume that not everybody has bought. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's really, in my opinion, today, since I haven't gotten one into every household yet, I want to talk about something that a lot of people can have in their purse or in their pocket. And it's a bottle of essential oils. And, you know, this is rose and patchouli. These two plants are inside the blend of Console. So really just need one bottle, but I just wanted to show the world. So Console essential oil, which has rose and patchouli in it, takes the brain out of fight or flight in 20 seconds. So it gets into the brain in 20 seconds, into the bloodstream in 30. And so you're in the car with somebody who's making you nuts, right? Been there. Okay. And you breathe in. And really, I've been kind of shortchanging my own self lately. I just do one breath. Do a few. So, I mean, so if you're, and then you're getting your breathing in, right? So you're getting the breath, and you're also getting the effects of these plants that are taking your brain out of fight or flight.
That's awesome. And that stuff, the Console smells so good.
My favorite. It really is my favorite. I think I just have to be in fight or flight more often just so I can use it. No. I'm a silly girl.
Yes.
So, Dr. Debbie, we were talking this morning, as you know, about how fear impacts brain health. And, you know, Dr. Lawless was sharing how, Jen, you said that it shuts down the blood flow to other areas of the body. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And the brain.
Yeah. And,
yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing because when I see my patients at work, I definitely agree with Jen what they do. They start, I call it from the mild states of fear, you know, to the escalated states of fear when they start, whatever their go-to is. Like you said, I have one patient just starts to, you know, stroke one strand of her hair. She just start, and I'll know, okay, automatically where she's at in her anxiety. I don't even have to ask her. And then I have another one. What he does is this. For some reason, he just keeps just plucking his thumbs, you know, and he'll be talking to me, but he's plucking his thumbs. And there's so many different ways a person will express anxiety. And we know, you know, as practitioners, anxiety is nothing but intense fear gone haywire. Okay. So, and, you know, what I do, I try to explain to them their body chemistry of how it responds to fear, how it responds to trauma. So, you know, the body is one of those things that literally take the, I wouldn't want to say the feeling, but it just controls the emotional part of it where it's tolerable, where then they can make some decisions of how to respond to this trigger, you know, because it's how they are responding. That's what it is. And they're really not responding. They're doing knee-jerk reactions because with response, it takes time. So I always say to them, okay, are we on autopilot today? Or where are we? Are we in our conscious mind? Because if you're in your conscious mind, you can make decisions in your conscious mind. And, you know, if you woke up in autopilot, you're going to know because you're going to wake up in yesterday's mind. Whatever is bothering you is going to wake up with you. Whatever you went to sleep with, you're going to wake up with. So guard your mind. Guard your mind. And, you know, and I teach them that every, oh my goodness, we get into, because I do group therapy and individual therapy. So I'll have
awesome.
Up to 20 at least 20. And what I'll do as soon as I walk in the door, they already know what that doctor that wants. What is your word for the day? Your word should be something you want to manifest. It should not be something that you don't want to feel or think. So let's put it in the brain and let it manifest. You have to allow it to manifest. So all of the things, the holistic things that we could do, because, you know, medication's been here like forever and just keeps the FDA, the pharmaceutical market just keeps putting more and more and more and more things out there. And we know that chemicals don't always do the best thing for bodies, okay? So, you know, do what you can holistically and then control, you know, I call it a self-master, self-rescue, you know, because that's what it's going to take. Because, you know, I always lead them back to the child mind state all the time. I said, when you were, 5 years old, somebody gave you 3 crayons and a piece of paper. No one had to tell you what to do. You already knew. It's like the brain just knows exactly what to do and what it needs to do. Okay, fast forward. Here comes life in so many different fashions, so much disappointment, drama, victories, blah, blah, blah. But now you don't know what to do. So what happened? What happened? You were greatly distracted by something that you felt was bigger than you, felt you that was stronger than you, and you believed it. Now we got a whole nother mindset. Isn't that amazing? But that's the way it works. That's the reprogramming.
Well, so it's about giving, it's what you're talking about is giving your power away, right? So.
Sometimes we give it away, sometimes we don't even know we're losing it.
I think it happens automatically when we have anxiety or fear. I think we automatically give away our power, and it's unconscious. It's an unconscious giveaway of power.
Correct. Yes, ma'am. Because, again, we are not prompted. See, we don't prompt ourselves. That wonderful thing called mantra, oh, here we go again. Okay, I told them you got 45 seconds to make a decision. You're either going to allow fear to take over your life, or you're going to say, uh-oh, I feel it's coming. What am I going to do? You know, and start speaking and opening your thought processes for a solution instead of being shut down by it, because that's what it does. It doesn't play fair. It just, like you say, it zaps you, you know. I'm so serious. It is the energy. It literally zaps
it is.
You. Okay. So hold on. So let's talk about the energy, shall we? So I want to make sure that everybody hears this. Dr. Debbie. Yeah, we're putting you on the spot.
Are you really? I'm used to that. You always put me on the spot.
I know. I want you, please, to describe for the world about energy, combustion, and what that looks like with how you so eloquently described it this weekend. And if it's not the same, that's okay. But we're close.
Well, you have this wonderful makeup of ours, you know, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, where our actions, our behaviors, our response time, reaction times, sometimes don't always work together. And we know that, right? So anytime fear, false evidence appearing real, is on the scene, you can bet your bottom dollar that it's getting ready to cause trouble, right? So at some given point in your day, whenever this starts to happen, the mind then is trying to figure fear out, because it's always trying to, sometimes it goes on autopilot. Okay, I'm just going to repeat the same way I reacted before. And sometimes if you're in our conscious state, being like, oh, no, not this time. No, so sometimes those things start to collide. They start to collide, and you kind of go back and forth for a moment. So the combustion then happens here in the brain, okay? So here comes fear. We're on this adrenaline drip, I mean, inopportune time, because guess what? Nothing is really happening. And God forbid, a real trigger is just going to get intensified, right? So once that adrenaline starts to then be released in our bloodstream, okay, here comes that cortisol, especially if it's done consistently. Cortisol is the first thing that actually starts to then flow through the blood and If that continues, then it turns into this thing called free radicals, as everybody knows, which then causes problems in your internal structure as well as your brain, because everything is attached. So it just starts these dynamite, I call it landmines in us, you know what I'm saying? Things start to explode with or without, like Jen said, our permission. And because we are still responding to it, thinking it is the big bad monster, that we can't control it. The only reason why you can't control it is because you don't know how to just yet. But again, 45 seconds, the brain can only concentrate on one thing at a time. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, and now most of my patients ask me, well, what about these racing thoughts? You know, I don't understand why I keep going from thought to thought. I say, well, the brain is asking a question, which one do you want? Which one do you want? You're sitting at the window, okay, pick one. And it's a good chance you're going to gravitate to negative energy, because that's what the human mind does. Because that's the most, believe it or not, the most powerful energy. It's the one that pulls us into that hurricane. So I tell my patient, okay, let's do something different. Here comes the thought, and you pick the minimum, the one that is the minimum of fear, okay, whatever that one is. And you say, well, I don't understand. All of them is the same. I said, no, they're not. No, they're not. If one of them are stronger than the other one. And if you don't want to do that, you can use that 45 seconds to put a thought in your brain immediately. Okay, oh, for example, oh, I'm such a failure. Nobody loves me. I'm not good enough. Okay, open your mouth to me. Yes, I am good enough. I'm enough for me. And that's how I'm going to think about it, and that's all it is to it. And put a period right there, you know? And so while we're speaking that and we do it on a consistent basis, what happens is we interrupt the landmines. But otherwise, we just like, I call it a sitting duck always gets hit with a moving target. Oh, you got to catch him, you know, because he's always moving. So I help them to keep their brains moving so they don't get stuck. Because when they get stuck, they feel like the rabbit, you know, in the hole kind of mindset, you know. And you don't know how to get out. So then it brings all of course, fear does this, brings all of the trauma that you suffered from the back of your mind, which is in your subconscious, to your right now moment. And they said, well, why is this so powerful? I said, because everything you feel, all of this is energy coming forward to that self, that conscious mind, energy that's overpowering, energy that you've been thinking for God knows how long. That's just your power.
Well, and when the energy,
right, and how many times have they relived that past behavior? You know, have they relived it 1,000 more times? Because the more they relive it, the bigger the power it has.
Correct.
And so when you do verbally speak that, you know, I am good enough for me today, right now,
mm-hmm.
you create a new pathway for them to think.
Correct.
So,
and they do it, and they feel good, and they're like, yep. Wow.
And
I know, that works.
Talking yesterday about mental preparedness. And
yes.
So there's mental preparedness. So when I was a child, my mom was cooking a brisket and set the house on fire. So, oops. And so my father, I called my dad, and he walked me through on getting the dogs. We had five dogs, making sure we got them out of the house. Where do you put them? And so what that taught me was, in the case of an emergency, have a pre-planned approach to what you're going to do in that situation. So we have, like, I have two parrots, two birds, and I have a small travel cage right by their cage. You don't have to look for it. It's right there. There's an emergency. They go into the cage, and we take them to safety. So now, if you're going to take your animals to safety, what are you going to do to take your brain to safety?
Absolutely.
So what we discussed yesterday, okay, I know that I get triggered by X, right? So what am I going to do to bring myself to what mental preparedness am I going to do? So what plan do I have when I hear X, and how am I going to choose now to respond to it differently? So I already have a pre-planned idea about how I'm going to respond to something that makes me mad, scared, whatever, so that I can catch myself and go, oh, no, what you're going to do is this.
Correct.
You know? And one of those things is also to bring levity to the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can, because if you can't, the opposite's not that much fun, right? So I don't know. Dr. Frank, Jen, thoughts?
That's why I like that timeline, because when I create that timeline with a person, at each step, once we can identify all of their levels of anxiety as it builds, we've kind of list a couple of things that they can do at that time. So like I was saying, like here, I can just do the self-talk, take a deep breath, and I'm fine. So that would be on my list of things I can do to help myself calm down. And so we do that for every level, because we're not always going to catch ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We might not catch ourselves till 7 because we're so worked up in the moment or so many things happen so quickly. So having a list, I like having like little lists or little, I put post-notes up, be like, hey, if you're feeling anxious, do these things. You know, but once we sit down and do the timeline, we have a lot of different things that will typically work and be very helpful for them.
Right.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
I like your idea about putting like the post-it notes up. So on my healing journey at the beginning, and of course I still do it now because it was so effective, there's a lot of great infographics that I love that I find online on Facebook or Instagram or just on a Google search that resonate with me, like God's got your back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't look back, you're not going that way, right? Right? Things like that, or whatever reminder that you need. And I post those on the refrigerator door,
mm-hmm.
on the bathroom door.
Perfect.
You know, or wherever I'm, or maybe in front of my desk, right, where I work. And so to change the mindset, it takes a shift in your thinking process, which means a shift in your behavior. And what are you going to do to support yourself in that shift in that behavior?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I often, with patients that I have mild to severe anxiety, I like for them to get a tangible, like a smooth stone.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
And they'll do that. And when they, I told them right at the beginning stages, I always try to keep them proactive. Right at the beginning stages, if you start feeling yourself slipping, I say if you're slipping, which means going deeper into the anxiety, you have to say, okay, it's time to switch the spoon immediately. It's time to switch the spoon. You say it 3 times. And you get your smooth stone and you start rubbing.
Like
you want to, you know, alternate the brain process. Instead of going into the slippery smooth, you're catching yourself and you're rubbing something, which your brain has to concentrate on that too, right? So it gives you that sense of feeling, because the smooth stone feels good between the fingers, you know, and it gives it's a soothing thing.
So this is my favorite stick.
Yes. I have them all over the place. They're in another room. But
well, you can actually close portals with this baby. So it's so fun. There's a doctor, I think a Dr. Abby, I forget her last name, but she was on Instagram yesterday. She's a doctor of chiropractic. And she was saying, what's your favorite crystal? So, of course, I listed all the ones that I wear. But then I said, really, my favorite one is the selenite, because it's the happy stick, right? I mean, you can wave it on your head. I'm pretty happy.
Yes.
So, Dr. Frank, what do you think about all this?
Well, I think absolutely there's several options that we teach ourselves, and there has to be, like I said, a learning curve, because mm-hmm. as we grow up, we learn certain things that we're frightened of, and then there's additional things that we learn to be afraid of. And this is basically survival. And so we go back to the very basis of our survival abilities. And in the brain, I usually locate that at the amygdala. It's kind of a way of recording our fears from the past as well as our, what we experience presently. And we need to create a recipe to deal with those fears. Now, I can remember in my early days, but actually before school, that I became very afraid of spiders. And then my grandmother taught me basically how to escape from their terror, basically by smushing them or escaping them or some other kind of basic primitive approach. So I became less afraid of spiders, but I have a certain lingering fear of rattlesnakes. Now, one of the things is that I tried to tame rattlesnakes, by the way, and since they're like alligators, they have no pleasure centers. Consequently, they have no real training ability. At least I don't have any of that. So my life does not have me engaged with rattlesnakes very often. So usually I can avoid those pretty quickly.
We
develop
so
various kinds of techniques and kind of an encyclopedia in our brain in terms of the kind of fears that we have. And I think that that's many things that you have all suggested make sense in terms of, especially as adults, but also as children, how do we deal with our fears? And these are skills that we learn according to our environment and our own basic survival. But these are important because without skills, we become regressive. We become very dependent, and we lose our self-confidence.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you said something so profound that I don't think that people think about. You said, without pleasure centers, it has no training ability.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, people aren't thinking about it, that if you can create pleasure for somebody and then take it away, you can train them to do whatever you want them to do.
Well,
parent, person. Sorry, sir, cat.
I think that in my own mind, I think that there are certain people who have no pleasure centers.
Ah, yeah, I know.
You can never make them happy. Correct. And never adjust to, unless you just basically are curious, like me. I get very curious about people who have very little pleasure centers, and I usually focus on that as well. And some of these people really are very sad and depressed.
Yeah.
And that depression will obviously eliminate a lot of the pleasure. So
you know what,
that gets us into a whole different ballgame.
I'm so excited about what we're talking about. I forgot to go to commercial. So hold on. Let me do that. And then, woo, sorry. Here we go. Let me see if I can figure this out. All right.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan, Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employee or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Okay, so we have another commercial.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
All right, and I got one more quickie here.
Susan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
So Naima puts on here, wow, that is profound. It looks like that came on just a minute ago. Says, that's exactly how we are programmed as compulsive consumers of addictive foods, drugs, entertainment, etc. Pleasure is given, then taken away, and people do what they are told to do in order to get the feeling of pleasure back. You know, that is spot on, right? And we got Jen back here. She's transferring. Jen Sennett is transferring to the car because she is going to her office. And I said, that's awesome. I love that Jen is walking while we're on the show, and I want to share why. So sitting is the new smoking, right? And so if you can have a meeting, and even while you're on the radio or YouTube, I'm cool with this. Jen gets out of the box, right? Jen does things not like everybody else, and she's willing to look at things in a different way. And so if you can have a meeting and not be tethered to your chair, okay, so use your phone. Walk while you're talking to people. If you're working out of your home, and you don't have to actually see somebody because you don't. Just going to say that. You actually don't have to visually see somebody to have a meeting. Have your meeting. Put on your earbuds, like your not the Bluetooth kind, just for, you know, we won't go there, Jen. But you want them hardwired because the Bluetooth will fry your brain. And walk and bring a pad of paper or take notes in your phone on your notepad, you know, if you need to do that. Because the more you move, the more activity you have, the healthier you are. And you don't need, I mean, I know it's important to get your heart rate up, but it's important just to keep the activity going. Walk up and down the stairs. When I was first reclaiming my health, I was 234 pounds, could barely move, over-medicated with 19, different drugs. I'm sick, And after each meal, I would have what's called periodic paralysis, and I would sit there for 20 minutes not being able to move off the couch. So for me, just walking down the 3 flights of stairs to get my mail was an accomplishment. So now I can do 7 miles, and but you have to start somewhere, right? So
my 80-year-old aunt says, motion is the lotion of
all right.
She is amazing. She still likes to go hiking, and she does a lot of things that most 80-year-olds don't do. So.
Well, and I want to talk about just a little bit. We've been talking about all these things from a psychological standpoint and activity. I want to talk just for a minute about the nutrients, because this is so important. I brought down from my dispensary upstairs the things that I'm using to support my brain health. One is this newer product. It's made from the noni berry. And I was on the road. And by the way, it comes in the focus shot. Oopsie. It also comes in for immunity. And I just ran out of sleep, which, by the way, is one for sleep, and it's a game changer. Okay. I was on the road. And these 2-ounce shots, I think it's 2 ounces. It's 2 ounces. When you're on the road, you want to make sure you have your nutrients and you have your antioxidants to kill those free radicals that the cortisol is creating. Score. Like, this is a game changer. And my sleep has never, ever been so good. And I have great sleep. I have great sleep. But I didn't know what great sleep was until I started using these products. And I've used like things like copaiba. I take lavender essential oil with frankincense before bed, and it gives me a deep sleep. But then the beauty rest, and you guys will know about this. So in this product, where does it say what it has? It has turmeric root, which is an anti-inflammatory, valerian root, which helps to calm the brain so you can sleep. It has milk thistle, chamomile, also choline, kelp extract, I can't pronounce that, and French melon. So let's get the one I can't pronounce. The thing is, our brain heals itself between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. And so to have a way to get a deeper sleep. I mean, if you think that you sleep good, that's awesome. I did too. But this is for me a game changer. There's other things by BrainMD, which is from Amen Clinic. If you want to have a happy brain, it's Happy Saffron. Omega 3 by BrainMD, which is again Amen Clinic, Dr. Daniel Amen. And then one of my favorites by Innate, Adrenal Response, which is made with ashwagandha, holy basil, it's ashwagandha, astragalus roots, which helps with your belly fat, thank you, holy basil and shishanda berry and kelp. And you can take this one during the day, and it keeps you calm. It's amazing without making you tired. So calm, focus, center. Then there's the probiotics. I know on this show has heard about the gut-brain connection. And if you're not taking care of your gut health and making sure it has the proper flora and bacteria, then you may have some challenges with focus, energy, depression, things like that. The other thing that will support your immune system is echinacea, which I think is one of Jen's favorites. Echinacea is a wildflower that's actually indigenous to Illinois, and it supports your immune system. It's really pretty. It's purple. This other thing is a leaf. This is so cool. We're taking this on the road, and people are back on the road again. So it's a little packet. It goes into 16 ounces of water. It has aloe, lysine, red clover, Indian gooseberry, ashwagandha, astaxanthin, can't say that, primrose, holy basil. And when you start fueling your body, and I'm bringing all these out for a reason, when you start fueling your body and your brain, like with rosemary, which is for mental acuity, you diffuse that in your diffuser. And I know I'm throwing a lot at everybody right now, But here's the thing. We're in unprecedented times. This is not an easy energy to work with. So fuel your body with all these cool plants, because these plants will make a big difference on how your body either reacts or responds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rant over. Rant over.
I think what you're saying, though, is so important.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
I know.
I mean,
you
honestly, we're
going to
have all of these things. Like, this is where, like, a lot of our healing is going to come from in the future.
That's true. Yes.
So, I mean, what you're talking about, I think, is still very, very important, because I feel like a lot of people are seeing that modern science, even though it has a lot of perks, there's a lot of drawbacks to it as well. And people are looking back to plants, and people are looking back to nature to find healing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they can't get what they want from a synthetic pill. So everyone's been talking about anxiety, and I think, Dr. Debbie, you said that that fear is anxiety, if somebody said that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So anxiety, a lot of people get prescribed things like clonazepam or Ativan. Well, there's a PubMed study. You can take a couple drops in a veggie cap, and you can take that internally, and it'll reduce your anxiety.
Mm.
So now Ativan is a synthetic. We know that synthetics get stored in your fat cells and then create disease. So if you put lavender, which is not a synthetic, and, you know, with the caveat that you're sourcing your plants responsibly, and they put it into your body, it does not get stored in your fat cells. It actually, it does, it helps with the symptom and does cellular repair.
Mm-hmm.
Something you talked about very briefly, though, Jody, and I think a lot of people don't realize the value of it, is the nutrition that goes into, like, if you have anxiety or you don't have anxiety. Because what you're putting in your body really makes a huge difference in how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And so so let's talk about things that cause anxiety. Anybody want to take a stab at a few foods?
McDonald's.
Right. Unfiltered water.
Mm-hmm. Too much sugar.
Sugar. Dr. Frank?
Well, I think that... my mind was going in a different direction, but we create all kinds of issues with anxiety about our own culture, because our culture basically creates our nutrition from a food point of view, as well as smells, aromas, and everything how we act. So I think that anxiety is a very, what I call a plural verb. It just basically, it comes from different directions, and that's what makes this so puzzling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so just to add to that, an integrative nutrition talks about that we are getting our nutrition not only from our food, but from the people that we are around, which kind of delves into the toxins, traumas, and thoughts. But to stay on the nutrition track or the food track, sugar will drive anxiety in a heartbeat. And sugar is not just your raw sugar. If you have bread, okay, especially like a wheat bread, it actually, when you put it in your body, it bursts into more sugar than if you had a tablespoon of sugar, okay? A dark banana, okay? So when you have a banana, you want to have it as yellow as possible. I used to wait until my bananas were very dark so I could make banana bread, only to find out that it replicates the cortisol, and actually I'm going to get this, hi honey, who's your puppy? Which puppy is this, Jen? She doesn't hear me. Jen, do you hear me?
I can't hear you guys right now, but I'm sure I will in a moment.
Okay, and I'm going to bring on Andrew Calhoun. Hold on. So welcome, Andrew. So we're talking about the foods that cause anxiety, and I was going to pull out some data from a doctor who I know who talks about the impact of bananas. And people are going to be surprised when they hear this because it's crazy. Hold on. Okay. So here's the thing about bananas and how it impacts stress and anxiety. Bananas come with a couple of problems. One, they have a lot of sugar. So we already know that sugar causes stress. So if you have direct exposure to sunlight, as in tropical regions, not too much of a problem there. But they do have latex in them, and some people have an allergic response or allergic reaction to latex. They're also loaded with pesticides, unless they're organic. And then the brown spots. Okay, listen up to this. The brown spots on these bananas are made from a chemical called tumor necrosis factor, which is the exact chemical compound that your spleen releases in response to stress, and it's very inflammatory.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like bananas.
Well, we're raised to think that having overripened bananas are good for banana bread, and they're mushy, and they're tasty, and they're more flavorful. They may be mushy and more flavorful, but they're not good for you.
Mm-mm. I like them semi, not ripe at all, actually. Like where they're very firm. That's the only way I can eat them. I can't eat them any other way.
So other things that can be very triggering. So when I had small fiber neuropathy, I had to look at all the foods that I was eating and to make sure that I didn't cause anxiety or stress for my body because it was already inflamed. So other things, so we've got sugar, it can be caffeine, which, by the way, caffeine can be in your tea, maca root. So maca root gives you a lot of energy, but the thing is as lovely as maca root is and it can be healthy for you, it can also be dangerous for you if you're trying to get rid of anxiety.
Jody, a way to for people to understand how conventional food, normal food people eat, as you buy in the grocery store, is not healthy for you. If you go to a clean diet, you go to a diet which is almost entirely organic or responsibly produced, as well as having filtered water, do that for a couple of weeks, and then try to have a Big Mac or something like that, you'll get sick. Or even a pizza, you'll get sick because your body's used to the good food now, and that's a stressor. Even food that you thought was a comfort food before, now, well, I'll just speak for myself personally. If I eat something that is not organic, not clean food, my body rejects it, doesn't like it. And it's really a good indication of what kind of food we're normally eating. You feel it's a comfort food, but it's actually not.
Well, and so spot on, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. There's so much to be said about food. I actually realized it's 8 o'clock and we were late on the first commercial, so I'm just going to do a real quick one, real quick, and then come back. So let me just do that.
Susan Essentials leads you to wellness by giving you access to more than 20,000 sustainably produced nutritional products delivered direct to your door.
Oops.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
All right, so we're back, and going back to the food conversation, I want to talk about something we haven't talked about, which is so critical to brain health, and I had no idea. Minerals. And first of all, the minerals are not in our food supply, and the only way really to get them is to take them internally, like through supplementation. But I also want to say this. Glyphosate was originally used to pull the calcium and all the minerals out of pipes, okay? This is back during World War II, I guess, is when they started to first use this. Well, if glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, okay, Roundup is what's used in your farming, so to grow your plants and get the keep the pests away, the pesticides, now that's sprayed all over your plants. So two things you want to consider is pulling the minerals out of your soil. When you
out of your body.
Yes, thank you. When you eat the food, it pulls it out of your body. It pulls it out of your body. So if you're eating something with glyphosate, here's the big thing. Oh, I know everyone's going to get this. Okay, listen to this. When you eat, you need to ask yourself, do you have more energy or less energy? A lot of people say less.
Sorry, I'm moving it.
Okay. Woo! So if you're eating and you have less energy after you eat, it is likely because the food has glyphosate in it. It's pulling the minerals out, mm-hmm. which impacts your ability to focus.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to eat organic because you do nothing at all. If you want your brain health, eat clean food.
Yes.
Because you're literally depleting your body of minerals every time you put food in your mouth.
And people don't realize it because the body compensates for a long time, and people don't realize the detrimental effect of poor nutrition and poor mineral intake. Until it's not that it's too late, until you have adverse reactions, and that's why I'm pretty vehement about helping my college age children to make sure that they eat healthy. And I send them, and I don't want them to get overloaded. They get tired of me talking about health, but just to give them a few things like magnesium or a multivitamin that's got some minerals in it. To help them to supplement what they're eating, because the food we have, as Joey said, is nutrient depleted and mineral depleted. It just is. Even if you have organic food, you don't have the pesticides, but you're still lacking a lot of the minerals. Absolutely important to supplement your diet with that.
So, Jen, are you able to speak while you're driving? I know you're muted right now. We have a question for you. Let me just try unmuting her. Okay. Oops. Oh, so I can't unmute you, Jen. So, all right. So, Dr. Lawless, what is your take on minerals and food on the brain?
Well, absolutely. There's the influence is pretty great. And I've, from a personal point of view, as well as dealing with some patients with anxiety and other psychological problems, these are paramount in terms of dealing with specific problems. However, I will have to say that these are very specific to problems. And I think you've already said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. And basically, one mineral can be helpful in one case and can be harmful in another. So you're going to have to basically go beyond just general rules in most cases. So without getting specific, I basically have worked a lot with chemical sensitive people. And this is where anxiety, in my estimation, really gets out of control, where you're basically starting with some harmful environmental issues such as black mold or some other thing that basically intensifies the problem. And then the brain kind of goes into overdrive and becomes sensitive to everything because of the broadness of the categories. So you're dealing with a huge handicap in life when that happens. So without going into deeper detail about this particular arena, the things that you may not never are presented to you, there are some general rules that I follow with every patient. And we've already gone over most of those that have to do with sugar and pesticides and synthetics. I think that those are the major categories that I get concerned.
So thank you for that, Dr. Frank. And I wanted to say this, that you're spot on. So we're talking generally speaking. If you're really having issues, there are tests, blood tests that we can do. I think most of us can either do them ourselves or send it out to someone who can support you in getting that blood test. I know that Dr. Frank does testing in his office, so you can directly call him and get in touch with his office at PMP. If anybody's looking for this information, certainly, you can reach out to me. I will connect you to Dr. Frank Lawless at any time. You can also call into the show at 515-605-9325. But you can just do nutrient deficiency testing. I mean, just that simple. If you don't want to do food sensitivity testing, you can start with nutrient deficiency testing. I have a friend who was on the other day, Dr. Susie, and she does testing out of Italy, and they take a clip of your hair. She's going to send me the information on that, and they can take a look at where you've been nutrient deficient for the last 6 months. So, Dr. Frank, actually, you have a unique system in your office, don't you?
Absolutely. We find that that's crucial to how we come to some kind of treatment program is through food and through how a person reacts to food. Sometimes that reaction has to do with psychological and environmental issues, such as, like, for example, peanuts. Peanuts, a lot of people are allergic to peanuts, and some people are just sensitive to peanuts. I'm sensitive to gluten, but I'm not allergic to gluten. So that takes two different levels of your immune action, either IgA or IgG. So you have to deal with those differently, but both of them will cause havoc with your anxiety for sure.
Hold on, Dr. Frank. I have to tell you, I know this product is called the BOD, and I actually reverse my gluten sensitivities.
Do you know
the founder?
Yes, I know him really well. Yeah.
Yeah. So use your BOD, because Andrew and I both reverse 135 food sensitivities. Andrew at 165. And
right.
We used this while we were exposed, and it did a reset on the neural network of our brain. This guy who created it's really cool. His name is, oh, it's you. You got the tools, Dolly. Rebirth.
Well, we use the bottle a lot in terms of desensitizing us to all kinds of anxiety, including foods. And we also use foods a lot for dealing with anxiety, such as, for example, strawberries. Strawberries are used in several countries for anxiety and pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a little study, and we found out that for our patients that were basically workers' comp, that eating half a dozen strawberries would dissolve their pain and their anxiety significantly. However, you had to include the little green leaves in order for it to work. In other words, it's just it doesn't work if you cut those off, and especially if you put sugar that basically contradicts everything. So it's not only the preparation, I mean, not only the foods, but the preparation. Now, let me go a little bit further into that area.
Okay.
When you create heat to a food, you change it molecularly so that the rawer the food, the better it is for you. For example, my mother, who considered herself a pioneer in nutrition, basically, when I was a kid, used to feed me potato chips as my vegetable.
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me. And I could drink milkshake also because it contained milk. Of course, it contained a humongous amount of sugar, which I had to process as well. But nevertheless, I did survive that. But the whole problem is that potato chips are not your health food. They're basically pieces of grease that have salt on them. They're no longer potatoes. So anytime you, let's say, eggs have been a big boogaboo for several years, and we're now learning that eggs are not bad for you. They're actually pretty good for you, especially your brain. However, if you cook an egg, if you fry an egg, it's not an egg anymore. It's basically cooked matter, and it operates quite a bit differently in your body than a raw egg would.
Mm.
Now, of course, you run a little problems with germs if you don't cook it and kill those germs. So you have to take that into also consideration. But basically, I'm going to go back to my basic premise: is the raw your food is, the better that your body recognizes it as such.
So let me ask you this then. If I'm going to have an egg, which I'm going to cook it, does it need to be like sunny side up? Is that my best idea?
Well, it depends on the heat. You can eat a raw egg. I've eaten lots of raw eggs, especially when I was young.
Me too.
There's some dangers in that. Boiling eggs are a lot safer for you in terms of creating the most abundant of protein.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't be any more detailed.
Boiling is the best way or the worst way? I'm sorry.
The best way.
The best way? I go for boiled eggs.
Okay.
Yeah, I prefer boiled eggs.
I like them sunny side up. I like my eggs.
I like my eggs, too.
You know, and the other thing is really good for brain health is your organic bacon. So, because it's got tons of D in it, vitamin D. And
healthy fat.
Healthy fat.
Organic bacon?
Organic bacon. So Andrew and I get ours from Hackleman Farm. They're out in Marengo, but they go to the farmer's market in Palatine, Illinois, and in Arlington Heights, Illinois. You can also order direct from them. While we're on, and I don't want to forget, we have a healing circle. It's Thursday, and So for those people who are listening, this is an opportunity for you to come on, be present, and receive the goodness from all the people that are here today, as well as several other people. And what we're going to do for you is really just remove all the negative energy that is in your space, in your body, around your body, and replace it with God's divine white light. There is more to it than that, but that's the top level. And so we encourage you to tune in on Thursday. We'll go live at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll start exactly at 11:11 a.m. We will end by 11:45 a.m. And it will air on YouTube. It'll air on Podbean. It will be on LinkedIn and Facebook and probably some other platforms. So we just welcome you to join that. And I will put the Eventbrite in the thread for that. Anybody else want to talk about the impact of anxiety, impact of food on anxiety?
We talked about anxiety. I want to go back to a little bit different because you have talked to me, Jody, for years about the three T's, toxins, traumas, and thoughts. And one of the things about thoughts, one of the anxiety, I know this isn't about food, but it impacts me. Some people are toxic. It's not just the food. People are toxic. And if you have people who are spreading negativity into you and helping you not to believe in yourself or spreading negativity so that you don't feel that your purpose in life is being met and that you need to shift away from that, either distance yourself from those people, talk to those people, or get rid of them. And just it's tough because sometimes those people are your family, your blood relatives. It's a tough thing. I've got close family relatives who every time I talk to them, it's a negative. Even if I'll say, I got this new assignment, I was really successful. Well, you didn't do this, did you? And they'll find something at fault of what I've done. Instead of finding the good in it. You can find good in everything, but some people will find negative. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, they'll find something that's not right, you haven't done right. And that's not good for your psyche. It's not good for your spirit. And it's just going to drag you down. You need to rise to a higher level of consciousness. One of the things we're going to be doing in that prayer group, in that circle, is getting to a higher level of consciousness. And you can't get to that higher level if you're being brought down by other people.
Well,
and that's called codependency in the word stages.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. And
it's important to use boundaries.
Yes.
And just even if, like, sometimes a simple boundary is like, wow, thank you for sharing that. Because then it kind of, like, I like those simple ones because it kind of bounces what they just said to you back onto them.
Yeah.
Really?
And then they have to kind of look to that, like, wait, what?
Especially the emotional manipulators and the emotional deceivers, God forbid, the narcissist. So, you know, it's really toxic to the human brain for sure.
Although it's tempting to retaliate because you believe what you believe is the right way or the correct way, going to what Jen mentioned, you can say, I can say, Mom, that's an interesting perspective. I don't share that with you. When we start talking about things, I talk about things with her. I just say, we're not going to go down that road. There's a boundary issue. We're not going to go down that road. We're not going to discuss that topic because you and I have a divergent opinion. And I'm not going to change despite what you continue to say about your beliefs. I don't think those are well-founded. I don't think you're based in science. And I'm not going to agree with you. But you can kind of like the agree or disagree. Don't pick up the dice. Don't keep on getting into arguments when it's not going to go anywhere. Try to find that common ground so you can work out. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you find people who won't get the common ground with you. They'll continue to be combative, and you have to just exit that relationship for your own safety.
Correct.
That's because they get the energy. Some people look to get the energy in any way. Attention is attention. Doesn't matter if it's positive or negative.
Correct.
So if you're getting attention because you're getting somebody to argue with you, they're sucking their energy. You're winning that energy. So that's why it's so important to not even get involved in those kinds of arguments or disagreements. Because you're just giving somebody else your energy because they're not going to believe you anyway. They have their own agenda.
Yeah.
Well, and what I was trying to explain 3 years ago to Andrew, and it took us a while to get there, and there's no shame on this. It's hard, first of all, it's hard when you're in the midst of the chaos or the midst of the abuse or the midst of the anger that's coming your way to see that you're now taking that anger and that abuse and you're transferring that energy to the next person. And I know it took me years to figure out that I was doing that and that I had to say, okay, this is not, I got it from my boss. I'm not giving it away to the next person. I'm going to go, and I didn't even know the word clearing at that point. Yeah. But basically, I wanted to get rid of the energy, right? I went for a walk. I went for a run. I ate a cupcake. No, that wasn't the healthy thing, but I did it anyway. You know, I was 234 pounds. You know, I did what I did. But the point is that you have to do something to get rid of the anger that they gave you. You have to get rid of the meanness because people will just dish it out if you let them.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach people how to treat us.
Yeah.
We are the owner. We are the owner of how do I want people to treat me? As long as we stand, if we allow people to treat us in a way that doesn't serve us, guess what? You know, you only have yourself to blame.
They'll continue to do it.
Yeah. Totally. So now, so Dr. Debbie, I have a text message from you, but I know that I wasn't able to reply on the text. So you have to leave at... in 3 minutes. Is there anything you want to say before you, you know, go see your clients?
Yes. I just want to kind of add to what you just said. The worst thing in the world is to suppress feelings of pain. And that is the most self-destruction thing you can ever do to yourself. However, it's coming out from the external world, you know, from actions, behaviors, habits, comments from other people. Because the closer they are to you, the more pain it causes. If it's derogatory, the further away from you is the less pain. So you just have to make a conscious decision to guard yourself, you know, in the midst of it all. Because when you believe that thing that's already been said as truth, then that's when it can have life. And then that's when it affects you. But if you're like, oh, okay, I understand. That's your opinion. And I respect that. And just kind of, and even if you don't agree with it, you're like, you know, but can I offer you another solution to that, you know, to what you're saying? I mean, even in the midst of an argument, you know, one has to get out of the emotions just to be logical because energy, negative energy will suck you in. But the goal is to have that self-control and ask yourself, okay, if I allow myself to get far in the weeds, then I'm going to lose the whole battle. And I'm a victor, which means that I'm going to stay in control as much as I possibly can. And with practice and response over a period of time, the subconscious just literally goes on immune system. It just goes on autopilot for you. So that you don't have to work so hard consciously to not take it personal. You train your mind not to keep responding like you usually respond. Because remember, these are words, sounds, actions of other people. So if you take it personally, then it becomes true. But if you eliminate that to, like, not allow your emotions to make a decision for you, then you're like, okay, here we go again. This is the same process. Don't let it frustrate you. How can you miss something you never had?
I want to add on to that, Dr. Debbie, because as soon as you give the emotions of the other person power,
Yes. That's
when everything is lost. But
right.
If you can be respectful of your feelings and their feelings in an argument or even a disagreement or a conversation, everyone still has their power.
Yes.
And if you only believe your truth and you let them believe their truth, then there's that divider. There's that place where you can have a conversation and there's no buy-in to your wrong or their right. It just is what it is.
Correct.
Well,
it's a safety. It's so safe mm-hmm. like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's psychological safety. And I will say that then I think what you said is so important, so I want to just repeat it. Allow people to have their truth, which means allow them to wear their mask if that's important to them. Allow them to have their vaccine if that's important to them. I mean, I don't agree with either of those two things, but I need to allow people to have their own truth because otherwise I'm dishonoring who they are at that point in time. I don't have to agree with you, but I have to honor you. Right?
Respect. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I learn so much every time I come on here, you know, because iron sharpens iron, for sure. Nice meeting you, Jen. Where are you located?
I'm in Vernon Hills.
Vernon Hills. Is that Chicago?
Illinois.
It's the suburbs of Chicago.
Gotcha. Okay. And of
where
course,
are you at?
I'm in Atlanta, on the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. In the suburbs, like you say, around. Trying to stay out of the city. So much going on in the city, right?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Dr. Frank Lawless, you are a genius. You are definitely a genius. If
absolutely.
No one ever told you, I say you are a genius. And your story is remarkable. And I thank my wonderful friends there, Andrew. I'm acting like I got an Emmy or something. What's going on?
Sounds good. It sounds good.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to see who I can save today. That's my motto. Okay? Much love to
Excellent.
You guys. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
So Dr. Frank. Can you tell us a little bit about the testing that you do in your office? And I've already put in here how people can get in touch with you. I put that in our thread, but I'll go back and add it again just, you know, so people can see. So if anybody, you know, I know that Jen is not taking new clients right now. Is that right, Jen?
That's okay.
She's not taking new clients right now. So if anybody needs to get in touch with Dr. Frank and needs to make an appointment, his office number is there. So Dr. Frank, talk about the testing that you do in your office.
Well, first of all, before I talk about that, let me just comment a little bit about the issue of toxic people. And I don't want to run the show here, but I basically want, this is a pet issue with me, so I want to respond a little bit, and it sounds a little bit like a preacher on the corner, but I apologize.
Don't make excuses, Dolly,
but the notion is that in my 50 years of dealing with people is that most times when you deal with people with problems, you soon discover that part of the problems is them. And basically, their ability to talk and express themselves and deal with their belief system, you might say. So most of the time, you can end up in power struggles. You can end up in all kinds of issues with regard to your relationship. And what I want to say sounds really simple, but it's very, very complex. And that is, you got to love your patients. You don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. And that is basically accepting them for who they are and to understand why they are, give a certain understanding in terms of what they're dealing with. But regardless of what kind of personalities they have, what's ultimately going to be beneficial is the love that you share with them. And this is not romantic love. This is basically honoring. And you mentioned that word earlier, and I want to use it as well. Honoring them for who they are and basically teaching them skills. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, that's important to say. I mean, you have to love people where they're at.
Right.
So I've told this story before. I'm going to share it again. So I grew up Jewish, and I was studying for my bat mitzvah at the age of 50. But typically, you know, we get bat mitzvahed at 13. I moved from a Jewish neighborhood to a Catholic neighborhood and was promptly told that I was going to hell. And I, of course, shared that I didn't believe in hell, so didn't think I was going there. So, but the point is, people didn't love me where I was at. Okay?
Right.
They did not love me where I was at. So now let's fast forward to my 50s. I'm not 58, but my early 50s. The church came and rescued me so many times. They didn't ask me why I was a Jew. They didn't tell me I was going to go to hell. They didn't make me wrong for where I was at. So if you can love people where they're at, guess what? They're going to follow you. Stop pushing your agenda on them. Love them where they're at.
Right.
So once you love someone where they're at, they're going to start asking you all the things that you know because they want to do you. They want to do the things that you're doing. They want to have the love that you give. They want to be the love that you give. And so that's what happened to me. No one pushed me into Christianity. No one threatened me when I to go to hell, and that's why I converted. I converted to Christianity because the church was loving me where I was at and supported me in a time of need where I would have been on the street.
With no questions asked.
No questions asked.
Right? Absolutely.
So if we can give people unconditional love, look, if people don't agree with which is none of our flipping business, what your medical choices are, if they don't agree with that, it's not our business to be asking people about their medical choices, right? Just love people where they're at and know that if you've made the right choice for you, you're fine. That's fine. And if you need to pivot because it turned out it wasn't fine, that's fine too. Because there's ways to pivot. The body's a master healing machine. Then rant over.
I've dealt with a lot of kinds of patients. I've dealt with people who are professional assassins. I've dealt with people that were drug dealers. I've dealt with a lot of anonymous people, dishonest people, should I say, that basically would be the scourge of the earth. But I found within them a certain amount of kindness and kind of gentle pain that I could address and relate to. And so, like I said, I've been challenged, I have to admit. But at the same time, that's part of me, not part of them.
Andrew, thoughts on the matter?
Going back to what we were talking about earlier with the toxic people and food, and it's something that I've become used to because I live a healthy life with the food and the exercise and the positive reinforcement that I get. But if people don't realize, and this is something you both of you know well, people will see their reactions, their physical reactions, their emotional reactions as a result of the influences only because of the external influences from other people or from situations. Whereas the diet that you have actually does contribute a lot to how you perceive things and your mood. And people don't realize that the effects of poor nutrition have on their emotional responses. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit, of how emotions aren't only driven by the external factors. They're driven by mineral and nutritional deficiencies. Can we talk about that for a little bit, Joe?
Yeah.
Well, okay. let me just comment on that a little bit.
Better.
I used to run pain clinics, and basically I felt very successful in that. But one of the major topics that was always interesting to patients was food. You know, what food am I doing that's interfering with my life? And we had a group session every week that was requested by the patients. This was something of their utmost interest. They weren't as interested in terms of their psychosis or other issues. They basically wanted to know what could they eat for breakfast, what could they eat for lunch, and what could they eat for dinner in a very practical way. And so consequently, I addressed in my discussion the kind of popular foods that get you in trouble, such as milk. Milk is a big controversy because it has so much sugar into it, and that's not natural. So we talk about natural foods, and then we talk about the cereals that are abomination, that started from good emotions and motivations, like Dr. Kellogg and Dr. Graham had in terms when they formulated their diet for emotional problems such as anxiety. That was their main purpose. And but after they lost control of the foods that they manufactured to other people, they became all sugar. So it's basically an issue with regard to the quote progress that we have in food preparation, such as wheat, and that kind of those kinds of issues that have prominented disease and anxiety and other kinds of issues. So it's a wild west, as we say, in regard to nutrition. And I agree with you that that's something that we have control of on a day-to-day basis that continues to be the chief interest of our patients and our families.
I'm curious to learn that, Dr. Frank, that the people are actually cognizant of the effect of food on their mood and food on how they feel. I'm guilty as the next person before I met my nutrition and my wellness experts who's up there helped to teach me the real benefits and importance of healthy nutrition and healthy eating.
Right.
I just figured, like most people do, well, my body's strong, I'll exercise, and my body will bounce back. And it does bounce back until it doesn't. And then you're not sure what's going on. Then you're in a spiral downwards because you're not on the right track. But so people actually came to you and they asked you what kinds of foods can I eat Dr. Frank, help me understand, from a mood standpoint or from a recovery, from a pain, you talked about pain. start with. Your pain clinics, is that what it was? What's going to make you feel less pain or make you feel better?
Absolutely. And we took a lot of our education from other countries that didn't have pain medication. They just used foods. And this comes from old Native American approaches who, for example, and this may be sound a little controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Go for it. I love it. I'm ready.
The peace pot ritual in which they passed around the peace pot was used very beneficial for pain. Now, the reason why that it was so beneficial when you look at it is that it wasn't tobacco that they were smoking. They were smoking anti-inflammatories, such as sage, willow bark, and those kinds of things.
Totally.
And consequently, was very effective. In fact, it's a lot more effective than marijuana in terms of dealing with pain and anxiety. And so I have no shares in terms of producing peace pipe tobacco, but I have used it with Lou Gehrig's disease on a few patients and found that was extremely effective in terms of dealing with the inflammation of the brain. So this whole issue of using the more primitive foods, the raw foods, the natural foods, we can still learn a lot from our ancestors.
So, okay, I have something to contribute about this. So the willow bark, first of all, spot on, Dr. Frank, not that you would share anything that wasn't, but the willow bark, let's talk about allopathic versus homeopathic. So people can make, let's give a definition. Homeopathic, we're using the whole plant, okay? Allopathic, we've taken a portion of the plant, we've extracted it, and then we use it in the form of, in the case of willow bark, aspirin. That's what aspirin is. It's an allopathic version of willow bark. Now, here's the thing. When you use willow bark in its whole form, it actually increases your health by 700%. Okay? Now, when you take a portion of it out and use it allopathically, it actually degrades your body, i.e. aspirin. Right? So
I know where you're going with this, I think. And,
go ahead.
It's kind of like the strawberries. The strawberries, the more you eat of the plant, the better it is for you because the components of the leaves activate certain points of the fruit. And certain points of the roots also activate certain points. So if you ate the whole strawberry plant, it would be better for you than just eating the fruit.
Thank you.
I think that's the same concept of the aspirin and the willow bark, is that when you synthesize it scientifically, you lose what the conglomeration of the solution that works for you. If we were to chew willow bark, we'd get a lot more benefit than from the aspirin, synthetics of the aspirin itself.
Yes.
Am I right?
Absolutely. Now I want to take it a step further. So we cannot patent the willow bark tree, can we, Dr. Frank? So the pharmaceutical industry cannot put a patent on the willow bark tree and make money off of it. But if they take a portion of the willow bark tree and then add some synthetics and slap a label on it, then they can charge you more money and have a revenue stream. I have to tell you, when you buy plants in the form of food, oils, like a tincture or what have you, it is so much better for your body and cheaper. Period. End of story. It doesn't work any other way. As soon as you start putting a synthetic in your body, allopathic, okay, Western medicine, it stores it, and I've said this before, in your fat cells and causes disease over a period of time. What that period of time is will differ from person to person depending on your body. And that's it. It's just that simple. So when you're in, now let me take it one step further. Let me put you at the grocery store, not the farmer's market. I recommend that you go to the farmer's market, much safer place to be. But let's assume you're at the grocery store. You want to shop on the perimeter of the aisle, right? Where the Whole Foods are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right? And when you're choosing your salt, okay, you want to get the purest form of salt that you can get and the ones that have the most minerals. That's Celtic sea salt, not Himalayan, not Morton, not any of the other, you know, iodized, none of them. Celtic sea salt, more minerals. Score.
Well, I think that process of synthesizing the plant bothers me enormously. And we go down to South America and to the Amazon, and we get these wonderful foods, if you want to call it that, and basically bring them back and synthesize it, it loses its power.
Yeah.
And so my general approach is to go to the source. The sources, should I say.
Yeah, the sources. And here's the other part, Dr. Frank. So there's a, what was I going to say? I'm having a brain freeze.
Well, one of the things you share with me, Jody, is that the body is made to process food. Our body is a great processing machine. When you eat things that are already processed outside the body and put into a package or a processed food, even if you're getting some nutrition, you're losing some of the benefits.
Well, so yeah, thank you, Andrew, because we are supposed to be the food processor. That is part of how the body absorbs nutrients, how it cleans out the stuff in your body that it doesn't need. You know, when you eat vegetables, it's kind of like if anybody remembers the scrubbing bubbles, right? Scrubbing bubbles to clean your bathroom and your bathtub and things. It kind of bubbles up. Well, when you eat like vegetables, these leafy greens that goes through your intestinal tract, it takes the fiber, will take all the other toxicity out that you've eaten and will pull it out. And that is, your body needs to be the food processor. And I'm not saying you don't use the food processor to make a smoothie or whatever, but by and large, you want to be the food processor, not buy the food processor. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is, and Dr. Frank touched on it, and thank you for this, the chemical reaction between the whole plant. So once you start extracting different parts of the plant, it doesn't work as well. But then there's also something I learned, I think it was in high school. Someone said to me, hey, well, if you want to lose weight, and I was like this big around, right? Like I really needed to at that point. You know, have salmon and lettuce, like, you know, salad. There was a chemical reaction between that fish and salad that would help you lose weight. Well, also, if you want to get rid of pain, yes, strawberries at the top, or you can use turmeric. But turmeric is absorbed into the body and does its work better when it's blended with black pepper and N-acetyl. It's a natural pain reliever. N-acetyl is an amino acid. Black pepper, we all know what that is. And you don't need a lot of it. It's a touch of it. It's activating. So when you get that God gave us everything we need in nature, you can stop going to the store for all the other stuff. go back to basics. Dr. Frank and Andrew, is there anything? So we have 5 minutes left. Andrew, why don't you do last words, and then Dr. Frank, I'll let you do last words after that.
Something that we've talked about many times, the three of us, but some people who are on new are listening now or may listen to it later on. One of the foundational principles that you live by, Jody, is that the body is a healing machine. And if we give the body what it needs, in our current environment with the sicknesses that is all around us, our body can respond well if we give it what it needs, meaning that if you give the tools, the building blocks for the body, it is able to fight off most things. If you look at the virus and how people who are healthy respond to that, and not by things we see about people who are immune compromised, people who don't have a healthy diet, people who are truly live a healthy diet with exercise and food and clean water and hydration, respond very well to any kind of attack on the body from a virus or any other invader, if you will. So it's really up to us to give our body tools it needs so that we can lead healthy lives.
Well said, Andrew. Well said. Dr. Frank? Last word for today's show?
Process that a little bit further. Talk more about that, Andrew.
Well, more about it is that people assume that their body, if we eat a deep dish pizza and it makes us feel a little bit bloated and we've been told maybe it's not the best thing for us, we still assume that our body is going to do the job for us. We just make assumptions our bodies can do anything. And then when they don't do anything, we take some kind of medicine or we go to sleep or we take sick days. And I'm saying that if you give your body healthy foods, your body is designed to fight off disease, to fight off sickness, to respond really well. If you get a virus, I don't talk about the big virus that is out there in the universe and out there in the world right now, but any kind of virus, if the flu, you can beat that off pretty quickly if you know how to, if you take the omega-3, the vitamin D, the vitamin C, things like that, all kinds of multivitamin, things that you might need to give your body's antibodies and give your body's a fighting chance to respond. Even if you get sick, you won't stay sick very long. Jody had COVID. Jody got over COVID in 2 days because of taking the right nutrition. It's not impossible. So we don't need to have synthetics. We need to have whole foods. We need to have full nutrition in order to beat off all the things. Now, this isn't everything and every disease and all that. Absolutely not. But your body stands a far greater chance of surviving and thriving if you give it what it needs.
Respond to that. I'm kind of a cautious person about. I'm a big believer in minerals and vitamins and so forth, but sometimes we're not very smart about how we use that. For example, I'm a huge believer in vitamin C. I think vitamin C is a wonder drug. It has to be the right kind of vitamin C. Sometimes some levels of vitamin C actually do the opposite and deteriorate your immune system. And some are super strong. For example, I used to take a lot of super strong vitamin C, and I won't get into labels. And basically, that overwhelmed my immune system so that I developed autoimmune symptoms. So I backed off of that, and basically, I don't have any secret formula. I'm just saying you have to be very conscious and aware of what you're eating and how you're responding and how that goes. And you will change over time. I respond very differently at age 81 than I did at 41 and certainly at 21. So some foods are, I get bigger response to, some foods I get nothing from, and some foods I actually overreact. So it's an ongoing issue. It's an ongoing of what things magnify your body potential and which ones don't. And there's not a secret answer for everybody.
Right.
Well, and that's where the testing comes in. And I'll just say this. So when you test, you basically take out that guesswork. And when you test, you can determine where your nutrient deficient. You can also test to determine which antioxidants are best for your body. We do that at Tucson Essentials in Illinois, and I believe Dr. Frank Lawless does that in Texas. And you can see either one of us virtually. You know, is that right, Dr. Frank? People can see you virtually for that as well. But you can test or see a doctor that you're comfortable with. But you can test to find out, and that's what you need to know. There are answers, and these tests are not very expensive. So, and I agree fully with Dr. Frank that we have the ability, our bodies change all the time. And so we have to constantly be testing to figure out where our bodies are now. And, you know, I won't go into the story, but if anybody wants to learn more, they can actually download my book for free on the Tucson Essentials website, which is www.tucsonessentials.com. If anybody wants to make an appointment with Dr. Frank, you can call his office at 972-434-5454. And we also have Amen Clinics on here with Andrew Calhoun. If you're looking to get a scan on your brain, Amen Clinics, Andrew can be reached at 847-220-0828. You can look at the overperforming and underperforming parts of the brain, and then, you know, also that's just another way to reclaim your health. Well, we are 9:02. I am going to run our thank you, and I am so grateful to you, Dr. Frank, to you, Andrew, to Jen Stennett, to Dr. Debbie Green, for everybody being on the show and making the huge contributions that they're making to not only this show, but to the world. And I will just end also by saying, please join Tucson Essentials on YouTube. All of us will be there. This is this Thursday, 9/9, 11:11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We will be offering a free healing session for the world, removing energies that no longer serve you. All right. We're going to run that greeting for you. There we go.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God. And